In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of the faithful, and kindle in them the fire of love. Send forth your Spirit, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mother of God, pray for us sinners, at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I continue the talks on Christian meditation, tonight we reflect on the meditation that St. Ignatius of Loyola offers on the battle of Satan versus the battle of Christ. Now, this would be one of the concrete meditations that St. Ignatius offers in the spiritual exercises. But it can and should flow into the rest of one's life. In the form of the meditation that he is offering, and again, as we are offering Christian meditation in general, as in a form, he says the first thing you do, you pray for the grace that you want, and this to be following Christ in all difficulties and challenges, in all sacrifices, and to be following him under his banner. And then you would imagine the place. Of course, we could always pray for the grace to do all things for the greater glory of the Lord, to praise and worship him. This is part of our continual prayers. And the place we can imagine, as he proposes, is you can imagine two banners of armies. It's like flags. The flag of Christ, you could perhaps picture him as a great king. It's another one of his meditations. Who's holding up the flag and he's calling all souls to him, saying, I call all people of all nations to me. Enter into sacrifice and difficulties. Enter into following me into the great battle. If you follow me in the battle and sacrifice with me, you will enter into the glory with me. And then you see on the other side the banner of Satan and his hordes. Satan is there, taking number of all the souls on the earth, sending out his demons to calculate how to conspire against all of humanity and to bring down societies, studying every single human being to see their weaknesses, putting out his terrible evil hierarchy to put these plans in place. So on one side the army of Christ, the other side the army of Satan. And we are called then, we see that place, perhaps a great field before us of two armies battling, and see the maneuvers and their tactics. And this is part of the meditation. At the end of this meditation, St. Ignatius especially recommends, which would be natural, is that, is then seeing this, I want to call out to Christ. Lord, help me to follow you in sacrifice and difficulties and heroism and to enter into this battle and talk to Jesus. And you could talk to Mother Mary, who was the great warrior for Christ. And ask them for the grace to enter into this battle, truly to be following the Lord. Now, when we put this meditation, this imagination into our mind, it becomes part of our way of seeing the world. We shall understand this opens up to then the greater spiritual battle that we face. We have the images there, which might be very helpful, of using of armies and clashes of arms if you want to use swords, or if you want to have lances, horses going back and forth in different war movies you've seen. It could be helpful. And truth, we know that angels, demons are angels, they do not fight with swords. They do not battle each other with some kind of like lightsabers or physical weapons that we can see. We must use symbols of that battle. And some of you had heard that I wrote a novel, St. George and the Dragon. This would be symbols of that, the spiritual battle between St. George and the Dragon. And we don't necessarily claim that St. George fought a living dragon, but it was a symbol of the spiritual battle. That's why it has been passed on through the ages as something that's still very important to us. That everyone enters into a spiritual battle. Then what is the essence of the spiritual battle between angels and demons and the influence of God? It is over ideas. Because this is the only truly spiritual battle. The influence of ideas over the world. It may have started before human history even. That we know the angels and the demons, well, the angels were created in the beginning. They had some kind of test and fell away. And part of their falling away was because of a certain idea to accept or reject God and his plan for history, which most likely included a vision of the incarnation of Jesus, that Jesus was going to be born of Mother Mary. So Satan and the demons rejected this idea, this vision. And then started the great spiritual battle, which you see depicted in the book of Revelation, chapter 12. That the dragon sought to sweep down, attack the child to be born, and swept and took down a third of the stars with him. But the Lord protected the child and the woman. This is a symbol of the ancient, these are symbols of the ancient spiritual battle. And then we could go even further saying that perhaps there was a battle between the angels and the demons about the nature of created things. The demons trying to put chaos, confusion and disorder into the universe, while the angels is trying to restore order according to the plan of God. So the ancient chaos, confusion, versus putting the blessings and the order of God in place. In this sense, too, we can see that the first choice of Adam and Eve, a choice that to disobey the Lord, was a battle over the idea of obeying or disobeying the Lord. And that spiritual battle had repercussions down through our ages. The battle continued in humanity. And now we have the spiritual battle, as the great spiritual masters have said, that can be influenced by the world, the devil, and society, and also by the angels. So we need to know, what is the source that is influencing us? Is it the world, what do we use, society, or can be us, actually the world, the devil, or ourselves? Since sin, our human nature has become distorted in some ways. Not completely destroyed. We can still do good things. But our intellect is clouded. Our will is weakened. So that, as St. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, when we try to do the good, we find ourselves not doing the good. So we have a desire to do the good as he did, but then we don't do it. You can see so many classic examples, like you want to go on a diet, but that cheesecake looks really good. And I don't want to eat that because I know I should be on a diet, but that cheesecake looks really good. And then you eat the cheesecake, you know. This is the battle in the soul. And there might be somebody who's so passionate, I know I should shut up, I know I shouldn't say those words, I know I shouldn't, and I'm fighting and fighting, but they're making me really mad, and I gotta say something, and then you say something. That's the battle in the heart. Now, perhaps the demons can come along and edge you, amplify that, but at the heart of it, it is the temptation coming from yourself. This is part of the spiritual battle. The ideas that ruminate in your mind, the impulses, the habits that you've built up for bad or for good, you know. And then you could have society, the world, as they would traditionally call it, the patterns of thought that you grew up with, that your society puts out there. You can have what you want. You can manipulate things so that you can get this. It's okay if you skim a few things here and there, if you cheat a little bit here and there. It's okay if you make your millions by oppressing people in South America, because the laws allow that there. It's okay if we kill children in abortion because it's not convenient for me now. We need to get an education. This relationship wasn't working out. It's not right. These are so many thinkings of the world. Then you can have Satan, who doesn't have unlimited power. It's always limited by Christ and God's permissive will. We know that he can put imaginations, that he and the demons can put imaginations and thoughts to present to you. Some signs of this in discernment of spirits is if you find that there's something that seems out of tune when you're trying to do good, like you have a sudden thought. An example might be you're in church physically and you have a sudden terrible impure thought. It just doesn't fit in with the setting. Just for a sign, it's a satanic temptation. But often you see Satan is studying every aspect. The demons study every aspect of us, night and day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. This is part of the meditation. That we Christians do believe in a conspiracy. Conspiracy is that Satan and his demons, the cohorts, who are trying to tempt us to turn away from the Lord. And we know that they are very subtle, that their intellects are much greater than ours, and often they are playing long games. They might tempt you with things, for example, tempt. And their goal is not that you'll actually give in to that, but that maybe you'll become weak and anxious, disturbed, so that later they can put another temptation in. This is the cruel methods of the demons, that they study you and your weaknesses over long times. And study, okay, what does this person have difficulty? Oh, okay, I see they complain when they have to wait in lines. I see they complain when they're around this person, perhaps their sibling or their spouse, you know. So that's a weakness. I can work on that. Our response to this battle is to know that the battle is present, to be praying to the Holy Spirit, to discerning the battle at hand before us, and asking ever the grace of the Lord to help us enter more deeply into following him in this battle. So, for example, in the foundations of society, you can see that there was a division, as the early Christians looked at, say, the children of Adam and Eve. Cain killed Abel, and then you see a branch growing out. The children of Cain and the children of Adam and Eve that were after that. The children of Cain who had killed Abel become more and more distorted and evil, turning more and more from the way of the Lord. And those that are called the sons of God, the children of Adam and Eve, who try at first to follow the Lord, are really building up the city of God versus the city of man. So the children of Cain become the way of thinking of the world, which turns more and more from the Lord. And then eventually the city of man, Cain's children, overrun and influence what should have been the sons of God. Then comes Noah's flood, the Lord purifying the world. These can be images to you of society, which you need to discern. What is not of the Lord? And how is he trying to tempt me from society, the evil one, or the thinking of the world? And then you can look at yourself personally. What are my particular temptations, my weaknesses, my difficulties? To know yourself. St. Ignatius again gives another image. It's like that a fortified structure, a fort, and the enemy is trying to attack that, and the enemy is studying what is the weaknesses of this fort. But you can make the fort of your soul stronger by knowing your weaknesses, shoring them up, seeking the virtues contrary to your weaknesses and asking for the grace of the Lord to grow in those areas. And then with the attacks of the evil one, this goes along quite often with your weaknesses. He and the demons will study you in particular, and then you can see how there might be demonic influences coming from society, pushing people away from following God, pushing people from denying that Jesus is the true incarnate God, pushing people away from Mother Mary, from the Catholic Church, and distortions of ideas about the Church, about the history of the Church, about things that are good and holy that we should respect. We understand these two as also temptations, part of the battle that we're in. So this can be a meditation that you enter into, perhaps picking up the first chapters of the book of Genesis, as I mentioned, or the book of Revelation, chapter 12, or just using your own imagination. As St. Ignatius always recommends, you enter into this with silence. Focus on the Lord, seeking and going through the points. And then if the Lord really grabs you, you stay in that silence and just talking to the Lord, interacting with Jesus, who is the leader of that great army, asking him to help you. And then you can reflect back on yourself. Lord, I see in myself this weakness, this difficulty. Help me here. And quite often, the spiritual battle is not something grand. Pope Francis, who is a Jesuit by background, knows also the spiritual exercises. He quite often speaks about, say, the noonday devil. The temptations you get in the middle of the day to perhaps be lazy, to pass on gossip, to just hate people because you feel like it. These are nothing that are great and grand usually. They just sort of pass through the day, and then afterwards you realize, I just did that? I just was debased in that way? This too is part of the spiritual battle. These daily temptations, daily difficulties that come when they're not in a great battle, when they're not in a dramatic moment, when they're just trying to do what they should be doing during the day. So that you're seeking to make the recognition of the spiritual battle more present throughout the whole of the day. Discerning the spirits. Which spirit is working on me? Is it the spirit of Christ? Is it the spirit of the world? Is it my weak spirit? Is it an evil spirit? And then seeking to fall only the spirit of God and asking the angels to help you along. So this can be part of the conversation you enter into in your prayer, which again is mentioning as should be part of the fruits of your prayer. The end of Christian meditation is not, I feel relaxed, I'm calming my person, I'm centering myself. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's conversation with Him, getting to know Him more deeply so we can spend eternity with Him in a greater way. So I'll give you some keys, some focuses, and some ways in these weeks. This is only a start. The first and the primary aspect should be that you take bits and pieces of this and start to enter into that silence. Taking some concrete meditations, and when the Lord opens your heart, just be with Him and converse with Him. This is the way of Christian meditation. If you want to go more deeply later, our religious order offers the full immersion into the spiritual exercises, which we'll be offering hopefully this June for probably 2 or 3 days, starting silence, exercising your soul, stretching yourself, following the Holy Spirit, which one can do through the grace of the Holy Spirit, entrusting in Him. This is the big aspect of the spiritual life. Trust and follow. And then over time see, okay, the Lord did lead me. He led me into the silence. I lived in the silence. Listened to the Holy Spirit. And He helped me to grow in that. Let's then take these last days too, in Lent, in meditation, and focus on the Lord and praising Him for what He gives to us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.